This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 19, which is on sale today for just $19.99 for the MLB All-Star Game. Now through July 20th for just $19.99, that's 50% off, you can get Out of the Park Baseball 19 from Steam, from Origin, or directly from OOTPDevelopments.com. The very best baseball strategy game ever made, best version ever made this year, Out of the Park Baseball 19. Don't take our word for it. Check out what people are saying about it all over the web. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is the biggest, the best, and frankly the most fun version of Out of the Park Baseball we've ever made. And we just introduced last week the ability to have a one-click tournament. You can take any baseball team ever and put them against any other baseball team ever in these massive historical tournaments where you can set up these March Madness-style brackets, or you can have round robins or play-ins. It's amazing. And now it's all with just one click of a button. Go ahead, check it out. Out of the Park Baseball 19 on sale today. 50% off for the MLB All-Star Game sale. Just $19.99. Enjoy the show.
It's been 5 years now. 5 years since the release of NCAA Football 14. That was the last college sports video game with any semblance of licensing or official support, and college basketball was gone even 4 years before NCAA football met its demise. On this anniversary, on which an NCAA Football 19 would have been available, if not for legal action that began in 2009, and actually before that, paving the way for it, and because of also the NCAA's strict restrictions on student-athletes receiving any form of compensation. That's why we don't have it. So now, in what's becoming an annual tradition on the Press Row Podcast, we're going to be taking a look back on NCAA football through our own eyes and from the perspective of the fans out there. Many contributed their thoughts on social media this week. It was trending on social media, and there were a lot of articles out there about NCAA football and college sports video games. We're going to revisit the situation of how we got here today, the latest developments on everything, the prospects for its return within the next 5 years, all of that. Basically, it's just going to be NCAA football and all college sports video game talk. I'm your host, Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre, with me, Rich Grisham, Out of the Park Developments, and Owen Good from Polygon. Owen, thanks for coming back on. Let's start with you before we before we move on to everything, but as we sit here now, 5 years later, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you related to NCAA football, college sports gaming, college athletics? You know, just kick us off. Let's see where we go from there.
Well, I think what I wrote about it this week, but it's like I think there's a lot of things about NCAA football that were taken for granted. But I think that's also I don't think that's something unfair or necessarily specific to NCAA. I think it's just the nature of the sports fan. You know, when something's going on and the times are great, you know, wonderful. And then years later, when it's all gone, you sort of go, man, that was the best ever. Mm. And you don't really understand how good it was. And so that's the feeling I have when I think about NCAA football, about that series. And to put a more specific point on it, it's like that thing, and I wrote about it this week for Polygon, that was a miracle of sports licensing. They had so many things going on in that game that had to get so many individual specific agreements to create that big game day feel, because it wasn't just, obviously, the universities of Division I-A football. It was all of the awards at the end of the year, and of course, then all of the bowl games, and then the conferences themselves are a separate thing too. This is obviously because the NCAA is somewhat irrelevant as an organization to college football. It doesn't sanction a championship. It's not like it controls the postseason the way it does in men's Division I basketball. And, you know, it's just when you peel back the layers of the onion, you really see what was going on. And with NCAA football, I look at it and I go, you know, I really think this thing was, you know, more complicated, probably had a phone book worth of paperwork, like the A through L directory of the Los Angeles phone book, for all of its licensing agreements, because it was just, you know, school after award after, I mean, you know, Nissan was in on this and all this other stuff too. And of course, I mean, ESPN and things in the broadcast presentation. That took a lot of work to put together.
Rich Grisham, what is your first thought as we kind of look back on NCAA football and where we're at now with lack of college sports games and all of that? What, you know, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
Well, this is probably going to be less popular than not. But what comes to mind for me is my own personal surprise at how little I really care about it. And I don't mean it in a cynical way. I've moved on, and I bought every single college football game released from Bill Walsh College Football, whatever year, early 90s, because that's when I remember playing that game, endless games over and over with various college roommates and things like that, all the way through the last one, NCAA, what, 14? Was that the number on the last one?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I bought every game for at least one console. And so I loved it, loved the series. Yes, I certainly would like to be playing it today. This week, as you mentioned, is the anniversary of when it would traditionally release. I would absolutely have bought it this year and every other year and would very likely be delighted because of what Owen said, and he nailed it. The complexity and the depth and the authenticity of NCAA football was unlike any other sports game ever. Particularly the last few years, as Owen wrote so well today in Polygon. Excellent article about it today and or yesterday. I think it was today. It might have been yesterday. But, you know, on the other hand, we are just inundated with more video games and movies and TV shows and entertainment now than we ever have before because of the amazing prevalence of software services and online services and Netflixes and you know, on demand everything now. And so while I certainly have a wonderful romantic feeling for the series and have dozens of memories playing it, I'm surprised at how I'm like, okay, you know, bummer, but, you know, kind of like okay with it. I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm getting older and like in the entertainment and band world, like I'm, you know, like everybody, right? I love music and I love certain TV shows. And when shows and bands sort of come to an end and break up and I used to get, you know, a little more unhappy about it. And now, you know, with some things, for example, Portlandia just wrapped up its 8th and final season. And they're like, you know what? That was what we did. That's what we wanted to do. We're good. And I think that's fantastic, right? They said, that's it. And so on the other hand, I'm like, I can deal with the fact that a thing has come to an end because that's kind of what happens in the entertainment and gaming world. Some go longer than others. So that's a very long-winded way of saying I miss it, but I'm surprised at how it doesn't like really bother me or because there's just so much else that I can do on demand instantly that I couldn't do 5 years ago, much less 10, 15, or 20 years.
And I agree with Rich on this. I am definitely not trying to lay out, you know, some kind of mournful obituary and, you know, it should be here or anything. It did run its course. I think it didn't end in a way that made people feel like it did run its course. But I also, when I look at, and I've written about this and Brian, you have as well, you know, the contraction of the sports landscape and how the development costs have increased. The licensing costs, of course, have not gone down. And the imperative to create a hit is greater than ever. I also don't know if it would be around today because obviously they canceled the college basketball series, both of them, 2K and EA Sports, well before any of this litigation was really brought to bear. But I agree with Rich. It's like it was great, and but I don't look at it as some kind of great crime that it's no longer around.
Yeah, I think the reason why it's still an emotional thing for a lot of people is that it there really isn't an alternative. Yeah, you can play Madden, but that's professional. You know, NCAA football was really popular at the time it went down. It was still selling.
Oh yeah, I
millions.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was selling millions of copies, right? And it was
really good
game. It was really
yes.
good game. It ended on a high note, but there's really nothing that compares. And that transitions into what comes to mind for me, which is something that really stood out this week as people sent me tweets, and I'll read some of them later. It's that NCAA football. And I think college sports as a whole, but the college basketball games just didn't sell enough to really end up mattering in the long run. NCAA football was selling enough. But the way people create narratives in a college game is unique to the sports gaming genre because you have players cycling through. So, you may put names on them. You may know who they are for the first season or two of your dynasty. But you're recruiting, you're bringing in, you know, fictional characters, and you're eventually assigning, you know, you're building these stories within the games. And I saw that in the tweets, is how people had their own personal stories about players that, of course, were entirely fictional. And yet they were able to affect them in a way that I'm not even sure professional sports games do. But there's a uniqueness to the college football game that comes out of that. And I was really impressed by that, whether it's the features that, you know, innovative features in the NCAA football series that in some ways, you know, prepared Madden to do new things. It's a series that took chances and it was, you know, it just hooked people in. And even for me, as a fan of professional sports than college sports, I enjoy college sports too. But I found I enjoyed the college games more, partially because of that, because you didn't have these preconceived notions of who the people were and what their skills were, and you would go out and you'd just play the game and try to perform the best you could, and you'd see who would stand out for you instead of targeting specific players. So. I think that's really the key for me, is that it was just the way you created narratives and built storylines and shared that too. A lot of responses had to do with like online dynasty or playing offline with family and friends. The way you shared that experience with other people is pretty unique.
Well, I think again, I'm sorry to barge in on this, but it's also like, you know, more of us went to college than played professional sports. So I can't identify with what it means to be even a minor league baseball player. You know, that's not an experience that's available to me. But I do know what it means to have gone to NC State. And so when I see my university in a video game, you know, resonates with me in the same way that you seeing the University of Washington, mm-hmm. in the same way that, you know, Rich seeing Rutgers is something that it really ties you to it. And also, Brian, what you meant about playing it with other people, you know, if they went to other schools and guys come over, I mean, I have some wonderful memories of doing that with other friends, and they all went to other places. And you just, you know, it brings out all kinds of things that it's the college experience. And it's interesting because, like, I think that's the big appeal for NCAA football. I don't know why it wasn't for NCAA basketball or for college hoops, probably because those games actually launched after the NCAA game. I mean, excuse me, after the NBA game. Mm-hmm. Whereas NCAA football was like sort of this teaser. You know, it was this appetizer. It'd come out in July. Madden and NFL 2K, when it came out, would be in August. And NCAA football was like, hey, go ahead and whet your appetite with this stuff. But I think the longer term appeal on it was that, wait a minute, you know, the teams that matter in this matter so much more to me than just, you know, I grew up in the city where the pro team is playing. Not to disparage anybody who has pro allegiance, but college ties, man, matter a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you saw that too in NCAA football or any college sports game, the variety of teams that people would use in a pro game, you play online or you do an online franchise, whatever, you would see a tendency for people just to take the highest rated teams because they want to win, right? In a college game, in NCAA football, it wasn't like that. People would take low rated schools because they wanted to build them up. They would take low rated schools simply, like you said, Owen, because they had ties, personal ties to those schools. Or in my case, I would just take schools that I liked the sound of or that I considered when I was deciding on where to go to college or that I liked the city.
Or they had an amazing, like a really interesting style of play.
Style of play. Like
I'm thinking about Rice and the flex bone. I played that all the time.
Stadium or like you said, you know, take a Georgia Tech who never passes the ball and maybe that's your style. So it's kind of it's very, very different from the pro experience, but it does have more of an emotional effect on people, I think, because of a lot of those things you mentioned. And it created a gameplay that was unique, that was more kind of open, and that was some of their marketing was that it was much more open and kind of more fun than the button-downed pro games. So they were a little more expressive, a little more creative in that sense. So I'm just going to recap real quick instead of going like into incredible detail on everything that's happened in the last decade because we've been covering it for a decade plus. And there's, you know, you can listen to previous podcasts. We've talked about it extensively. But basically, yeah, college basketball games died out in 2009 was the last one, was NCAA Basketball 10. The College Hoops 2K series died even before that, a year or two before that. And that was less to do with what happened with NCAA football. That had to do with just a lack of sales. And then the lawsuits came around that time. They didn't have a whole lot of traction at that point. Still, as you know, court systems take forever for things to go through, and then you have appeals, and it's a long, long process. And that's why we're here now, when this all began back in 2009 or before it, with a few other lawsuits that didn't end up getting very far, but they kind of, like I said at the top of the show, kind of paved the way for the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, which had to do with historical players in college basketball games that representing players such as O'Bannon and others who had previously played in college, so didn't have their names, but it had their numbers, it had everything that made you know who they were. And then you had Sam Keller, who was suing over the NCAA football series and his appearance in NCAA football, or, you know, quote-unquote appearance, and every other player who appeared in NCAA football who were represented by the physical characteristics and some of their background information that was accurate to real life. We knew it. You knew Tim Tebow was in the game, even though Tebow wasn't on the jersey. You knew it was Tebow. He was left-handed. You know, he was running around. He had all the characteristics, the height, weight, hometown. His ratings represented what he did on the field, all of that. You knew who it was, but they just didn't have the names on him, right? So he was Keller was suing over that kind of thing. Eventually, those two lawsuits came together. It became a class action lawsuit. It spread to not just video games, but it came about merchandising rights and broadcasting rights, and it involved the NCAA and the Collegiate Licensing Company. Okay, that made its way through the courts, successfully so, and reached trial, and EA and the CLC settled their way out of it. That's right when NCAA football was canceled. Had less to do with the settlement. The settlement was more because of the what had come about, that they were going to cancel the series, so they settled their way out of it. The NCAA would go on to lose the lawsuit, okay? And it's a lot to digest here, but the NCAA would lose the lawsuit. Eventually it would be, of course, appealed, and part of the ruling was reversed, which would have allowed players to get some money. Supreme Court decided not to take it on. And so that's where we are right now, kind of in limbo. There's another lawsuit that has potential, and I talk about that in my piece on Sporting News. And it's a Jeffrey Kessler case, which is trying to change college amateurism like completely, which would allow everybody to make money however they want to make money. And that goes to trial in December. So NCAA football died partially because the lawsuit scared off their partners. So we had, first, the NCAA didn't want to be tied to the game. EA was going to make just a game called College Football. And NCAA provides the branding. Like you said, Owen, NCAA is not critical to what the video game was. NCAA was just about the name and the branding.
Just to put it in here, that deal literally was done because they decided to start up their college basketball series in the late 1990s. And that, of course, is a license. The tournament is a license the NCAA controls. And I mean, this was told to me by the former executive producer. They tossed in, okay, we'll do a deal and give you money for your name on our college football game in order to, you know, to do this deal for college basketball. I mean, the name is literally just a name and that little triangular flag, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And EA paid money just as a sweetheart giveaway to say, hey, thanks very much for letting us do the basketball game. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's what really ended up taking the series down was that, like I said, the other partners, so conferences started pulling out. Then you had individual universities pulling out. I believe it was Ohio State was the first name that was publicized, but there were others who were either considering it or talking about it behind the scenes. And when you can't have a complete game, when you wouldn't be able to have all the teams, which are what matters more than the players as far as how the game was selling. Now, EA, they wanted to put player names in. This came out in the trial in Discovery. It was interesting is that EA and NCAA had actually talked about putting names into the game a few years before that. And it didn't end up happening, of course, but there were efforts to do that. So it was that loss of the schools, which was going to, it was going to continue and grow, and they were going to keep losing more people or more schools and more licensing. And it was just getting towards where generic games don't sell, and a mix of a generic game, so having some licenses and some not, was going to be a real big, difficult proposition for EA. And so they settled their way out of the lawsuit, closed down the series, and here we are 5 years later. We haven't had another game, and really there's no, other than that lawsuit I mentioned, we're not much closer to that changing. Rich, I know you said... You said you don't miss it, but this is, as evidenced by this week, there's a lot of people out there who do miss it. And there's a big difference between NCAA and other series that have been lost. And that's, like I said, I think it's because of the lack of a true alternative, but also because there is the prospect of it coming back at some point, right? It's not completely dead. I mean, you've had EA executives talk about, yes, we want to do college football when we're able to do it. And so, I ask you, how hopeful are you of that happening, or are you just dismissing it and not going to worry about it until it actually happens?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not going to dismiss it. If NCAA football was available to me right now, I would buy it, and I would have bought it the last 5 years. I guess to say I flat out don't miss it is not entirely true. Again, I think the impact is that 5 years later, it's so much easier for me to see and experience so many different games and shows and movies. As I said before, it's more that it's a lot easier to consume a lot more interesting stuff now than it was even 5 years ago, much less 10. So again, I would get it tomorrow if they had it available. I tell you, every year that goes by, it gets more difficult to put the pieces back together. If they had gotten to make one version for the current console generation, the PS4, Xbox One, I would feel a lot better about it. That doesn't mean that they couldn't skip a generation and in a couple of years unveil a new one on the next generation. That's right. Probably, you know, more likely. But I think the more years you go, the more difficult it is technically to put the game together in an authentic way that fans of the series would like. And putting all that together, all the art needs to be redone. You know, all the stadiums would need to go HD or super HD or whatever, right? Because the difference between the 360 and the PS4 Plus or Xbox One X is tremendous. Lots of time, lots of man hours. Now, of course, they do have the core football engine that is used in Madden, which, right, knowing nothing about it, I presume there's some ability to rework it as a separate entity to support the college game better. So, yes, EA is a billion-dollar company, and they have the resources to do it. You know, with Ultimate Team as a option for NCAA football, that gives it a much better opportunity to get made.
Yeah, that's why, right? That's why they need names, and that's why they need the ability, right, to pay players,
right,
to get them actually licensed in the game. And that's the key here. Again, as we go back to it, to why the series is gone and what could bring it back. And the key is the only way it's coming back is if college athletes can be paid for their rights. There has to be a system in place for that to happen. And without it, it's just not really a feasible project that anyone's going to take on. But like Rich was saying, Owen, the EA has the capability, they have the experience. They have people who have worked on NCAA. They have Madden, which shared resources with NCAA over the years. EA is the only one who could really make this happen in the future. Isn't that true?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's not the same thing as like the problem that, you know, everybody talks about with Major League Baseball on the Xbox, for example, you know, where it's like there is nothing that is out there on current hardware that they can, you know, attached to. Obviously, you know, you do have the Madden engine. Now, as things move on, I mean, you know, the NFL is 32 stadiums. The NCAA is four times that. And, you know, you have to, you have to render those in the new engine and all this other stuff. I'm just sort of assuming here, but it's not like you can just go immediately tomorrow on it. But I think EA, you know, could with some agility, if it was, you know, like, okay, we're back in this business, they could be there tomorrow, kind of. But it is the kind of thing where it's like the further that we get away from this, you know, the less likely it is that it's going to come back. And here is the other thing too, and I'll try not to get so pointillistic about it, but the money that was involved in this, the licensing that went to the individual schools. Again, you know, you're talking about more than 100 at the top level of college football. It's not like they get $1 million each, because there ain't no way you're going to make money off of a game that has that much in licensing fees, obviously, before you get to the development cost. So this was stuff that you know, it was, you know, Clemson and Louisville in years when they were going to BCS bowls. God, remember the BCS? Wow, what a relic. CFP bowls, you know, they were getting $85,000 as a school for a year. That is very much take it or leave it money. And so what happened in 2013 was they realized that the PR value in all of this, or at least the negative PR value in all of this, was so big that, you know, it totally outweighed whatever money they were receiving from it. And that's why you had the SEC saying, well, we're out of this. And that's why you had the Pac-12 saying, we're out of this. And the University of Washington was somebody that publicly came forward and said, we're out of this. And, you know, Ohio State was going to be the next one to go. And, it is that's why I look at this and I say, you know, maybe this really is just sort of a time and a place thing, because now, if you're looking at, okay, what is the value of my name, image, and likeness, whether I'm a player or a university, you know, in a video game, they have a much greater sense of that value, if not because of, you know, a video game, I mean, because of just lawsuits saying, hey, it's a valuable thing. Look at, you know, the licensing that's gone on with the appearances of, what was it, Kentucky and Kansas and some of these others in the NBA game in the career mode, right, where you can choose your college, mm-hmm. and that was in the past. And then, you know, you had Oregon and Texas. I mean, you know, Texas had its own, you know, had its stadium starring right there in, yeah. you know, last year's story mode. And these are like, it's like EA, I feel like a studio or a publisher, like even Electronic Arts with all of its deep pockets, you know, they can go in and say, all right, we'll give you the full treatment if you're the University of Texas, which is the country club of college football. But we're not going to do that for 127 other schools. And the other thing, too, was if you look at, for example, when they were doing and I forget which one, I think it was NBA 2K15. It was the one that Spike Lee was the writer on. Mm-hmm. You know, you had all the college choices. You know, North Carolina wasn't a part of that.
No.
You know, Duke wasn't a part of that. So it's not like. It's not like you're talking about every major brand in college sports says, oh, we got to do this. Not anymore. So I don't think the will is there from the licensing agents for, you know, all of these schools. And then, of course, everything else that goes on, you know, around it, even if they resolved the lawsuits, I just don't see what it is that would get them to say, sure, we'll go back in on that.
But here's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'll give you my opinion on what it would become here after
okay.
Rich.
All right. Well, you and I may be saying the same thing or maybe saying something very different. I'm excited about this. What I think they could do, based on the resources that they do have, but without also having to make the tremendous investment in the hundreds of stadiums and gosh knows how many jerseys and helmets and decals and stickers and things that you, again, talked about so great in your recent Polygon article. But what they could do is, who wouldn't love as an EA Access subscriber to be able to play Alabama versus Clemson and the college football playoff, right? Where you got eight teams, real teams, and, you know, three or four real stadiums offered as part of what you get for EA Access, right? When EA's CEO stood on stage at E3, he talked quite a bit about subscription and IP and EA streaming, right? So those are three things that, why would people want to subscribe to your service? Because optimally, they get content, access to content they can't get anywhere else. And if they could even make a small online only or EA Access version of a game that would get them back in the game, but without having to go so deep, and then perhaps build on it over time, right? We all know all games are moving towards, those that haven't already gone all the way towards online services anyway, NCAA football, next generation. That plus Ultimate Team, you know, if you want to take that kind of approach, it could come back. And that's how I would predict it would come back, would be in that fashion.
I think that's a very sensible thing to say, and certainly at scale. But Brian, I think if I'm correct, there was the NCAA March Madness mm-hmm. Downloadable title that was just basically, it was the 64 teams for the tournament.
That's right.
Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. And even that didn't do well enough for Electronic Arts. And that was something that was launched and publicized within the month where, you know, everybody's eyes were on college basketball and nothing else. Because everybody knows that, you know, that's the time when people care about college basketball. And that's when you sell your video games. And even that didn't do enough for them.
Agree.
I don't see how restricting it to, you know, here's the CFP top 10, you know, not to disparage you, Rich, but, you know, to say, here are the who's going to go to the CFP. Here are the 10 best schools, play as them. It's just college sports is so tribal. that when I go to a game, I expect to be able to say, you know, yeah, I know that NC State ain't a national champion. We haven't won an ACC championship since 1979, but I expect to be able to play as them in this video game. And not everybody went to Alabama, and not everybody went to Clemson, not everybody went to, you know, Florida State or Ohio State. I think it's on paper somewhat workable, but I think in reality they'd go for it about the same way they did that old college basketball title.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I just think that it's very different now, economically especially, and that they have their own platform. It's very different. It would be a differentiator. And I know it's not an exact correlate, but as I read in the Wall Street Journal like a week and a half ago, the FIFA World Cup free edition digital download for FIFA 18 made them tremendous amounts of money. And so they are really learning very, very well, I think, on how to distribute content that will generate revenue in new ways. And now that they have their own platform, I think that's the differentiator to make it more attractive, would be to have the NCAA football game back. There are plenty of people who would at least give EA Access a try if they knew that they could play NCAA college football. And that's the bigger game that I see EA playing. I'm not necessarily predicting that that will happen, but in my opinion, if this game is going to come back for all the reasons we talked about, the longer, the further out we get, the more difficult it is. The more likely I see that would be the only way to do it. Anyway, Brian, I cut you off 20 minutes ago. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I figured I'd get back in at some point. But yeah, Rich, I think it could also tie into Madden even more than we see, like, the college, the way they put the college in for the story mode last year. And
good point.
How they
transitioned that
to Ultimate Team also, and that's the case in Madden 19, or I presumably it will be. Actually, there may not be colleges. Sorry, I was mistaking that, but they're taking Ultimate Team, the characters from Longshot and all that, and they're involved in Ultimate Team. But yeah, NBA 2K did that for 2 years, like Owen brought up. They had, I think it was like 8 schools the second time around. And it's a very limited experience because, again, they don't want anybody misinterpreting what they're doing and thinking that they're real players or playing with them outside of the story mode. And then they put together legendary teams, which, of course, has nothing to do with current day players at those universities. So, Owen, going back to what you said about, you know, what motivation necessarily do they have to be involved with a video game, I think the biggest motivation, you see this in other areas, whether it's we got to go to a Nike school or going to a school, you know, you can go back to the NCAA football games and look at the recruiting edges that teams had. If you had a school that was not involved in the video game, I think there's a lot of kids who would not want to go to that school. They'd rather go to a school where they could be in a video game. And so I think that's probably the biggest deal about it.
I can kind of understand that, but again, for the marketing money that you're getting out of this, $85,000, and you're talking about Power 5 schools that are in, you know, conferences with their own television networks, I think it's a marginal publicity benefit. I really do.
I feel like it'd be a bigger deal these days, especially with the way you see even still. There was an article on ESPN about NCAA football, and Lamar Jackson said how bummed he was that he thought he could have been the cover guy this year if it weren't for, you know, the game not obviously not existing. So it's still, I think there's a lot of motivation for people who want to be involved in that. There's a lot of college athletes who came out after the cancellation or even during the court case was going on saying they didn't necessarily want to be paid. They just wanted to be in the game.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to say that this can't happen. I mean, the NCAA makes its own rules. The NCAA is not an organization that's like trying to conform to international law or some international sports federation or national sports federation. They can do whatever they want. They have different rules for non-revenue sports, revenue sports, and other things like that. I think that they could, you know, tomorrow if they said, you know, fine, you sign your scholarship here at the school, and if you accept that we can use your image of you in uniform, very different distinction. Can get to that later. But we get to use your image of you in uniform, and here's $500, which is about the value of what one of those gift bags is, even at the lowest grade bowl game that, you know, 85 players on a school gets. You know, they could do it tomorrow, and everybody would make, you know, a ton of money. But the NCAA could also make $4 billion on the distribution rights to a national tournament that it administered in college football, and it doesn't. So, you know, again, it gets back to it's more about control and PR and image. And big surprise, because we're talking about American academia, where PR and image and prestige are often more important than any other objective value.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of complications involved, obviously, but you know, if the motivation is there, I think they could make it work, and they'd be able to get a lot on board, if not everyone. I think that would certainly, I don't know, Rich, if they'd want to do a limited experience, because that just feels like people would ask, they'd expect more. You don't think that's the case?
Well, of course it would definitely be the case. That you can't do anything anymore without being the case, it seems like. So especially if you're EA with such a beloved franchise, it would be about setting expectations, as in, if you're an EA Access subscriber, you just get this for free, or anybody can buy it for $5 or whatever, right? You communicate the value of your product by what you do or do not ask people to pay for it. And paying these days, again, in the gaming world, with subscription services continuing to be more and more important every minute, it's even more important. So it would be about setting expectations, period.
Yeah. I don't know. Do gamers generally have are they generally very accepting of lowered expectations, Rich?
Well, I mean, with a five now, right? By the time anything like this happens, you're talking with a 7 to 8 year gap. You really would, if there's ever a time where it would be justified and would potentially be accepted, it would be then, I would think, because if all of the people, Brian, whose comments you're going to read are reflective of the larger video game purchasing public, the game will sell more than the 1.5 million copies that the last version of it did sell.
Oh, the first one that comes back would definitely that would move a huge number of copies, I think.
Right.
Given the anticipation. Right. But then again, if you're talking about a limited experience.
Yeah.
But people were accepting of that. Interestingly, though, Rich, to your point, people were accepting of that when NBA 2K put the college stuff in, when EA had glimpses of the college stuff in Madden. People were excited. You know, maybe people were more excited for what was there than what wasn't. Even though neither one ended up being very extensive, that people actually went in and enjoyed those aspects of it.
I mean, again, like the World Cup, granted, I have FIFA 19, and FIFA 19 or 18, whatever the current FIFA is such a massive game. You know, you get the World Cup free download. It's very specific and very limited, but you know exactly what it is, right? So you go into the World Cup and like, okay, I'm going to play either the real World Cup, or I'm going to set up my own custom one, or I can do a little bit of Ultimate Team stuff. It's very specific and narrow, and you know what you're getting into. I would personally be completely fine with being able to play the 8 teams or the 16 teams that would potentially get to play a few games or something to get into a college football playoff or something like that, and 4 to 6 real world stadiums in playoff atmospheres, again, if it was $5 or if it was part of EA Access or something like that. So, yeah, exactly. That's just the big question, and which may probably won't ever be answered.
Owen, did you have anything else you wanted to hit on? Any subjects related to all this that you wanted to hit on? I wasn't sure if you had. I know you had hot takes, right, coming in.
Yes, I do. I do have hot takes. No, I mean, I think it's one of these things where, you know, I have been a real big fan of NCAA football. I also understand, you know, the inequity that it represents. I know people who have worked on that you know, for years. And I think a lot of them, and that, you know, I don't want them, you know, I don't think poorly of them or want them to lose their jobs, you know, that kind of thing. It is a very conflicted thing. I think it's still just basically incumbent upon the NCAA to finally sit down and understand what it has created. But at the same time, you know, you do have to go, well, you know, wait a minute. How much of a player's name, image, and likeness really is tied to the fact that they're appearing for that school? And that school is paying for all kinds of infrastructure and the travel and the development and all sorts of other things. And those, you know, that's something that sort of falls by the wayside. We could talk for another 6 hours about that. So it's just it is a really complicated thing, and kind of like Rich, I am just resigned to this was a place in time when it was a sweet spot of, you know, they could do this license. People really didn't know, frankly, what the value of things were until they figured it out and then sued. And I hate to put it that way, but that's sort of what happened. And then, you know, then the game had to go away, and that's fine. And maybe we get it back on these limited bases later, you know, either in, you know, some kind of a branded thing or, you know, story modes. Because, again, we have seen story modes. It's not just been Madden. It's been, you know, the NBA basketball game. So it might be that we have to just settle for that. I'm fine with that. I think, you know, I'm happy with the memories I have of NCAA football. I wish it was back, but I'm a realist. I think everybody should be realistic about this too. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest challenge ahead, besides getting to the point where players can be paid, which is, of course, the first real hurdle to in any kind of college game coming back, is that how is the way they're going to have to pay players. So, you know, like there currently is no like players association where EA would just pay, you know, $5 million or whatever into a pool, and that would just be distributed to everyone. So there needs to be something along those lines, like they have with the NFL, with the NBA, with UFC, where they can pay into something, a lump sum, and get everyone's rights. Or it's going to come down to negotiating with individual players, so, which is logistically a nightmare. And then you're going to end up with some players licensed and some not. That would be just, that probably is not sustainable. So when you look at the lump sum thing, the big challenge within that is, should your backup lineman at Toledo get paid the same as the starting quarterback at USC? And if not, then you have to do the individual negotiating thing, which is just going to be an absolute mess. And I don't think that, because individually licensing people, it hasn't worked for years. Tennis, golf, boxing.
I hate to interrupt here, but it's like you have, what is it? Is it $2,500 for the the cost of attendance, the stipend that the Power Five conference schools give? And that is not, you know, by a position. That is not so and so was a five-star recruit. That is not somebody was, you know, a rivals this thing. That's across the board. So I don't understand why universities could not go, everyone gets and you know, arrive at the fee that people think is equitable, you know, for name, image, and likeness use. And that goes for, you know, marketing. So it's like when they appear in the calendar that goes at the pizza joint, you know, on the campus drag, that's what that covers. And sure, I mean, it's open-ended, but they get somebody is compensated, so you remove that conflict from this. And then, you know, the schools are the agents on behalf of the players, and they're like, okay, now we got all these players. Here are the 85 guys on our roster. You can put them in your video game. I don't understand, you know, it just, it seems It seems more simple to me, but I'm also not a lawyer. I'm also not a licensor. I'm not a director of athletics. But I don't think you need to go to the level of you know, everybody has to have an agent. You cut individual deals and somebody gets more and somebody gets less. Mm-hmm. I think you can give everybody the same amount of money and they all get along. I really do. Because there are very few people who are famous outside of the uniform they're in. Think about that for a second. Think about college basketball. How many basketball players from last year are actually recognizable or famous outside of wearing the Duke or the Kentucky or the North Carolina basketball uniform? Right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that definitely contributes. But you don't think somebody like, let's say, Baker Mayfield last year would have expected or demanded more money to have their individual rights than like I said, a backup lineman somewhere?
I mean, he could demand it in the same way anybody else could demand it. The question is whether or not he can receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it is sort of two different things. I'm not players are right now demanding extra money, and that, I mean, I don't begrudge any of that stuff. But the conflict to me, and what we were talking about at the beginning of this, was EA wanted at least the exception of, hey, let's give some kind of gratuity that is distributed on an equitable basis to every single player, because that's all. I mean, you go through NCAA regulation, it's always like everyone gets the same thing. Okay, fine. And the NCAA wouldn't grant that. That's my argument, is like, why? Okay. If you have everyone who goes to a college football game, if you're a cheerleader, an athletics director, or whatever, you get the same bag of gifts, and that's got the PS4 and the Best Buy gift card and all, you know, the watch and all this other crap. They'll do that for those gifts. They won't do it for cash. You can do it for anything. So Baker Mayfield going, well, now wait a minute, I won the Heisman Trophy. Or if some other guy, let's just say, you know, Johnny Manziel, who won it as a freshman,
yeah,
says, no, seriously, no, really.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who wins it as a freshman goes, well, now, wait a minute. I won the most famous award in college football and one of the most famous awards in major sports. And so now I have real marketing value.
Leverage, right?
Right. I deserve thus and such. Well, I mean, he can press that case with the people who control all of that eligibility, or he can just turn pro. But I hate to say it, I wouldn't know Baker Mayfield if he didn't play for Oklahoma, and I probably wouldn't care about him. And so I think Oklahoma has some kind of at least argumentative basis to say, hey, wait a minute, what we do here at Sooner Football, you know, with the stadium and all of this development stuff, that's got a lot to do with why you are a big star too. So it's appropriate that I think he still should be compensated, but I think it would be, I think that's why it would be appropriate to be compensated on a stipend basis, you know, that's administered by the university. And the other thing about that too is, and God, this one is another 4-hour conversation. I think that at least removes some of the Title IX implications, because if you just go, everybody gets $500, whether you're a women's soccer player, a walk-on on the diving team, or the college quarterback, then you have at least checked that box and can move on with it. It's the NCAA's unwillingness to even consider that I find pig-headed, put it that way.
I think, I think also people need to look at this and know that these players, if they were to be paid, are not going to be making a fortune off this. When you look at the settlement that EA and CLC had, which ended up being, I think, $60 million in the end, it was initially $40 million, ended up being $60 million. The players that could make claims to that got anywhere from a couple $100 to, like, I don't know, what was it, Owen? The $1,400, a couple thousand tops, right?
I think there were some guys who got four figures, that I think the average was about $400, because I remember going, you know, that's the value of one of these stupid gift bags. And it was so ironic.
Yeah.
But it was basically that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just a lot of lot of complications, and this, you know, it's a difficult, very difficult, complicated situation. So I'm going to read some tweets, and then you guys can make comments on them and or take them wherever they end up going. But yeah, I got hundreds of replies asking for, you know, what was your favorite moment from the NCAA football series, and this is still on people's minds. And so I'm going to go through a few of them. Rich, this one will resonate with you, Rich. A Terry 65 said he dominated with Alabama year after year. So losing one game felt like his whole season was over. Usually his losses wouldn't come till the SEC championship game or the national championship game. And if he lost one of those, he'd be sad for the rest of the day, like he had actually watched his team lose in real life. Rich, how does it feel as an Alabama fan when Alabama actually loses?
Well, I'm glad that the listener or said that, because every year NCAA football was my scouting tool for Alabama. Every single year. I don't follow the team that closely to know in the spring and summer how the team is lining up in the fall. Brian, we've talked about this before. I'm not a draft guy. I'm not a preseason guy. When it's day one, game one, regular season, Sunday at one, let's go. That's when I start paying attention. With NCAA football, every year would let me scout Alabama, and I loved that. I would know whether their quarterback was a big guy who was throwing the ball long, was a small, speedy guy. I would know who the running back was. I mean, you know, some years it was Sean Alexander, which was fantastic, and a lot of years it wasn't, which wasn't quite so fantastic. A lot of people forget, during the heyday of NCAA football, Alabama was not very good. Not very good at all. Oh, everybody forgets that. Everybody forgets that, except for this guy right here. So that was a particularly wonderful thing about getting NCAA football, was hopping in as Alabama and starting to learn what the team was about on offense and defense. And that is one of my favorite memories, because it happened every year in July. You know, friend of the show, Mike Phillips, would take the week off from work when NCAA football came out, right? Like, it was a big deal, especially when we were younger and could be less responsible and do things like binge play NCAA with your roommates for hours at a time for no reason. My gosh, so much fun. So many great memories.
A lot of tweets about specific players or specific combos of players. Of course, these we're assigning real names to them because they were real people. That was pretty well established. But the one I saw the most was the combo of Pat White and Steve Slayton for West Virginia. And that was in college football, going back to your point early in the show, Owen, it was like the styles of play and running the option. And so Pat White and Steve Slayton was an incredible duo. Is there anyone that stands out for you, Owen, in your years of playing NCAA football? Was there a team or certain players that were just so dynamic for you that they were really memorable?
I mean, it's all going to sound so hipster, or it's at least going to be so kind of self-interested. I mean, I bought NCAA football 2004 because it was the last year that Phillip Rivers was going to be in that game. And, you know, obviously I took NC State to multiple national championships with the Wolfpack. And
as you should have, and you should be proud of those championships, and you should have a small little banner or something up on your wall. You earned those. You did.
But you know, I think that's what it's about. And I had forgotten about Steve Slayton, and I think that that's a wonderful point. You know, I think some of the service academy teams are just, yeah, they have really interesting combinations out there too.
And the Army-Navy game, the NCAA did a great job with the Army-Navy presentation. Great job.
Exactly. And then there's always this satisfaction of, you know, I took the team that has nothing. It doesn't have all the money. And then we just run the option and we're going to win the national championship. I mean, I did that on the Genesis in 1996. And that was a tradition that really carried through even into the last year. The best memory that I have, though, of the NCAA football game, and it's funny because it was on SportsIllustrated.com this week, was they had the covers. You know, you would end your game and you would go to the menu and you would see a cover that was explaining whatever happened that week. And the best one, the very best one, was when you took a nowhere team or a created team, you know, but somebody who was unranked and got them into the top five, and then you saw that cover that said, "Who are these guys?" And it was like, "I am here, man." That was nothing like that in any other sports video game. That was greatness right there.
Totally agreed. And something else that we've talked about before, so I won't belabor it, but in the middle 360 years, late 360 years, there were amazing tools to build websites for your dynasties and things like that. Like, you could create really slick looking websites using the tools. Crazy stuff to
they would put out stories for you.
Yes. I mean, yes. Unbelievable stuff. Way ahead of its time. And something Madden never did. Never.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Team Builder is still active.
Yeah,
right?
You can go. I think they may have just recently turned off the servers and shut down the online Dynasty website. I'm not sure about Team Builder, but of course.
But if you go in and create a school, you can still download that to your Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3. Just saying, you know, and that's. You know, one of the things that is sort of, I think that's the lingering tradition of it. I will be fascinated to see how long that one goes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was sort of the essence of NCAA football right there.
You know, Team Builder is a great example. You know, I got a lot of tweets, of course, about specific features. Team Builder was one of them. Another real popular mention was the home field advantage with the screen shake and the wiggly route lines.
Yep.
That's a favorite of many people. That was a big one for me too. And of course, Online Dynasty. People love that, sharing their experience with people who weren't necessarily in their own home and getting to play through years of a dynasty in that way. Do you have a favorite feature, Owen, that NCAA did?
I mean, I have specific memories of you mentioned the home field advantage thing. I remember it's like, you know, 2004. I talked about. I think that's probably the best game in the series. 2006, NCAA 06. I've talked about this with guys who've worked on that. That I think was the renegade of the bunch. Because you could have, like, probationary infractions. You know, you would have, like, they wouldn't talk about exactly what your player did, but, you know, it would be like, well, so-and-so got in trouble, and you can discipline them, or you can keep them all on the roster.
Yeah.
And if you kept them on the roster and you know, you were all wild bunch and everything, I mean, you might get in trouble down the line. And lose some scholarships.
This was, sorry, I'm going to jump in because there's a tweet specific to this one. NW Drone 410. He said he got put on probation because he wouldn't suspend Santonio Holmes for the OSU Michigan game.
Oh, wow.
I love that stuff. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that was only 1 year.
I think it was in that one game.
And then there was the other thing, too.
Did that game come out the same year as Fight Night Champion, which was a very R-rated game, which went into all sorts of crazy themes that
I think that was farther back.
5 years later, that was
that far, because, you know, this sounds very Fight Night Champions to me, this weird licensed outlier with all sorts of craziness in it.
They got away with a lot of stuff on that, and the other thing was the girlfriends. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah, absolutely. That was back in, was that Road to Glory?
That was 06. That was Road to Glory. And it was like, you know, you show up, you go to campus, you're a freshman, you're like, oh, that's nice. Here's a picture of my girl from home. And then your senior year and you're Mr. Stud college football player, you're like, oh, my goodness, who is this on my dorm room desk? And unsurprisingly, that feature only lasted a year or two. NCAA 06 was a boundary pusher on some things.
I wonder if I have that. I might have that. That was 360, right?
Yes, it's the one with Desmond Howard on the cover.
I got to dig around. I got rid of a lot of my 360 games, but I also still have a bunch of them. I should dig around and see if I have that. I know I had it.
They also had the college radio. You know, they had, you know, the soundtracks usually just like, you know, fight songs and crap. And the other funny thing I love about the NCAA football series was for the longest time, you know, all of those fight songs, they had to record them at their own expense, and they got a Russian military band to do so many of them. So, you know, you're hearing Rocky Top performed by, you know, some Russian, you know, anyway.
That is unbelievable. I totally forgot about that. That is ridiculous in retrospect.
The stadium chants were, they would go out to the parking deck at EA
right.
and yell. And the guys who were like, you know, well, you know, I went to Florida State. I'm not going to do it. It's great to be a Florida Gator. They would just shut up. So, you know, it's funny stuff like that that I think, you know, that's why I love the game. That's why I love this series. And it's, you know, we don't have to lament it. We can, they're good memories. But man, the music was great. God, I love
Rocky Top is great.
I love Arkansas's fight song. I love Arkansas's fight song. And the only reason I know it is because of the NCAA football video game. I love Wyoming's fight song. I'll sing that as the day is long because it's fun.
I know the only way that I know any of those is through the game. And it's amazing how that very small but wildly important part of college football was captured so well. Because again, there's no other sport has that. No pro sport has that. It just another great little example.
Yeah, and you know, I think that for me, when I think back on it, that's what I really enjoy the most.
Yep, I mean, yeah, there's so many like I said earlier on, there's so many personal stories and unique ways that people played this game, and we saw that over the years. We see that now as people reminisce here this week a little bit, and it's unfortunate we can't continue doing that. Hopefully we'll get the opportunity again sometime in the future. We'll of course, you know, continue to follow the stories and continue to check back in and see how the developments take place here in the months and years ahead. And then I expect next July, Rich and Owen will be back talking more about it, right?
Probably.
Yep.
I mean, I like talking about it every year, but I also think people do have to begin a process of letting go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. It's just, it's the, you know, it's just tantalizing because there is still the prospect that it does come back down the line. And I would, yep, like we always say, I would not get my hopes up for something that doesn't exist yet. I would not hold out hope for it and pine over it. It's not doing you any good. Rich, what your approach is completely fine is all right, it's gone. I'm going to do other things. And if it comes back, I'm going to be excited for it.
I'll be right back. Yeah. Hey, real quick story before you sign off.
Yeah.
So if you remember NCAA Hoops 2K8, I think was the last one, had all the real schools and their gyms and things like that. And I went to Rider University at NOAA, and not Rutgers, Rider. Big difference in a lot of ways.
Sorry, Rich. I was thinking about Jersey, man. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just busting. I'm NC State. That is an alumni. You know, that is a major college institution. That would have looked nice on the resume. But anyway, I went to Rider, and in the college basketball game, you could play as Rider legitimately in their gym. In fact, my next door neighbor, when that game was out, went to St. Peter's, which is actually in the same conference as Rider. And we were able to play Rider versus St. Peter's MAC, Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, games against each other in the real gyms. Just crazy, unbelievable stuff for a tiny little school like Rider University. In NCAA football, I have no idea what year. There was one year where I created Rider University in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, created a giant stadium right smack in the middle of town, and created my Rider University football team. Rider University is a Division I basketball school and in baseball, but has no football program and hasn't for 50 or 60 years, right? So it's not like there's anything there. Giant bowl stadium, and played my first game, and absolutely nobody came. Like, the stadium was completely empty. It was so weird. I have no idea why it was like that. And then I played like a whole season and I lost a few games and just like, I'm sure I did something strange, but nobody came the whole year. And I never did sort of pick that up and continue. But the funny thing is that is exactly what would have happened. If you had put a giant football stadium in the middle of Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and said, all right, Ryder, you got a football team, get out there and go do it. Absolutely nobody would have come. It was so funny, the juxtaposition of my little school in the NCAA basketball game versus my little school in the NCAA football game. And that's sort of one other silly memory that I will take away from that great series. So
if I can interject real quick, I've got to say a word of charity for this. I had three friends when I worked in Denver, and this was more than 10 years ago. We played NCAA football, and we created a game that we called Spite Bowl. So there was the four of us, and what you had to do was you had to play as your alma mater's most despised rival. So I would play as North Carolina, David would play as Purdue, Jim would play as California, and Robert would play as Kansas, and you're just there suffering because your options are lose to your friend or, you know, triumph with the team whose song you don't want to hear. And it was just such a hollow victory every time, you know. It was a Spite Bowl was one of those things that I will always love. And I think that's sort of the college experience right there.
Rich Grisham, what you got going on? Where can we find you on Twitter, and what's happening with Out of the Park Baseball?
Out of the Park Baseball 19 All-Star Game Sale, 50% off right now. I will be at the All-Star Game this week, Brian. Tuesday night, me. I'll be in the stadium, Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. I'm so excited. I've never been to an All-Star Game before. This is a very unique experience.
You're going to the game only, or you're going to go to the Home Run Derby?
Both nights, Monday night and Tuesday night. Got the whole thing going on. I am over the moon excited. Can't wait. If you're a friend of the show, if you're an Out of the Park Baseball player, if you're going to be around there, let me know. Maybe we'll do something fun. I'm going there and just looking to have a good time and enjoy the fan experience and the Home Run Derby and the game. Can't wait. So super happy about that.
Awesome. Owen Good, what do you got going on?
I'm impressed that, I mean, Rich, that's great that you're going to the All-Star game. I've never been to that. So, I hope you have a great time. As for me, I write for Polygon, at Owen Good on Twitter. Please follow me. Follow at Smith Sarkar too. We're the guys who, Smith is more into NHL and things like that. But obviously we're looking forward to an August with Madden and a September with FIFA and NHL, and so we hope that you'll tune in there as those things come out.
Yep, absolutely. We're just less than a month away for Madden, and then September, pretty much every other sports game for the year rolls in. So, yeah, a lot to come here as we look back on NCAA football, and now we look ahead to all the new games that are actually going to physically exist. So we will be back next week with another episode of the Press Row Podcast. Until then, thank you everyone out there for listening, and take care until next week.